Welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
All right, and welcome, my friends, to another live installment of the political cesspool radio program. Hard to believe 2 months of 2013 are nearly in the books, but after this week, we'll be in March by the time we talk to you again. Here on our award-winning broadcast, originating from our flagship AM radio station here in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Keith Alexander came in here on two wheels tonight just a few minutes ago. He is actually still in the green room. I've got the red on-air light is on, alerting people around the studio and down the hall that this show is, in fact, broadcasting. And yet Keith is still, well, he's in the building. We know that. Last I saw, he was eating grapes and getting some, well, of course, we keep the concubines in the green room, too, so that might explain why Keith is a little late coming into work. All right, he has now walked into the broadcast room with an ice cream cone. Hey, it's all happening here at the cesspool tonight. Keith, you know, we've been remiss in our duties. This is the political cesspool, and we have 3 hours each week to drain the swamp, to really offer our listening audience around the world a representative sampling of what's going on out there and give you commentary, opinion, and analysis that you're not going to find anywhere else. But we have totally neglected Black History Month. Did you know that? It's the last show we're going to have in February, which is, of course, the sacred Black History Month. And I don't even think it's been mentioned once, but we're gonna fix that this evening, my friend here, right off the bat tonight. We've got a lot to cover. Going to start the show out on a little bit of a lighter note, some of the more comedic fare, and then we're going to settle into the stuff you tuned in to hear. I should ask Keith to talk in his mic right now, but it'd be hard. Let's see if he can do it. We've talked about walking and chewing bubblegum at the same time. Let's see if we can host a radio show and eat an ice cream cone at the same time. He's going to do it.
Now, James, if you want to, we could spend the entire 3 hours in behind enemy lines with all these articles I brought from the newspaper. I mean, the liberals have thrown it into high gear, and there's one more indignity after another. I mean, it's just nonstop. So if that's what you want, we can give it to you tonight.
Well, Keith has come loaded with a whole lot of newspaper tonight, and it will just be me and Keith for the entire 3 hours again, no guests tonight. We're going to talk about Black History Month. We're going to talk about, hey, Tim Tebow has backed out of speaking at a Baptist church because they oppose sodomy. I love that. Yeah, Keith said he heard Jim Rome getting on him today. All of these self-righteous, non-Christian
Hebrews,
yeah, for sure. But above and beyond that, just even if they weren't, just these holier-than-thou sports commentators who more than likely have never been to church in their life, they're giving lectures on what Christianity is. And, of course, when it comes to a liberal, you know what it's all about. They have thrown Tebow under the bus saying, how dare he speak in an intolerant church that criticizes homosexuality? Well, okay, folks, it is a church. Have you ever read what God had to say about homosexuality? It isn't very good. It's the same opinion that we have. We stand with God on the issue, and so at least did Tebow until he backed out of this. Well, they were saying, you know, Tebow shouldn't be going to such intolerant churches because God is love, and God does not like hate. I mean, that's what they boil it down to every time. And that's what's happened, and Tebow did back out. I guess we can go ahead and, in earnest, Keith, with the time we have left this first segment, make that our opening salvo tonight in the volleyball game that is the political cesspool. But, yeah, we talked to you about it last week. We covered it in detail, folks. Tim Tebow was going to speak at this very mainstream. It's a mega Baptist church in Dallas. And the two things that they said were so intolerable about this church was that they didn't condone homosexuality, which is a very basic tenet of Christianity. And number two, they said that everyone has to come through Christ to know salvation. And then the pastor was asked, does that include Jews? And he said, yes, everyone. Anyone can come to know Christ. Anyone can be a Christian, but they have to ask Christ for that salvation. And yes, that includes Jews. And then, of course, that made him an anti-Semite. So they're homophobes because they take... They stick to God's word with regards to sodomy, and of course they're anti-Semites because they stick to God's word with regards to everyone coming through Christ, including Jews. And so, and Tebow's backed out of speaking at this church, Keith.
Well, we can't take all the credit for Christianity. Every major religion in the world, Islam, even Judaism, Jim Rome's favorite group, all of them condemn homosexuality. In fact, most of the condemnation of homosexuality that you find in the Bible, which is the Holy Scripture for Christians, comes from the first five books of Genesis, and that is the Torah, which, lo and behold, is the holy book, or one of the holy books, of Judaism. Apparently, he doesn't. Jim Rome doesn't even respect his own religion, or at least his own ancestors' religion. Of course, being a Jew doesn't mean you're religious at all. It's a cultural identity, and Jim Rome is Exhibit A for that.
Well, Keith, you're right. There is quite a bit of scripture with regards to the condemnation and the sin, the abomination that is homosexuality within the first five books of the Bible. But if you want a New Testament take on homosexuality, go to Romans. Christ equally denounced the sin of sodomy. And so for a while, Tebow seemed to be holding the line with regards to his faith. And Tebow made himself a standard bearer for Christianity within the mainstream media. It's not as though he's getting singled out. He wanted that designation and he got it, and God bless him for it. But don't back out now. Don't be a cafeteria Christian like we have so many of in this day and age. It's all or nothing. It's not lukewarm, as Christ admonished us. It's you're either hot or you're cold. And Tebow decided to bow out here. Well, and it's a shame.
It's a shame, but then on the other hand, he is so in such a precarious situation. Being in the NFL or the NBA, you're under constant scrutiny from the Jewish-run media. ESPN is almost wall-to-wall Jews. And these people are looking for any variance from political correctness to crucify you on, just like their ancestors crucified Christ. Now, there's something else that I think is very, that I listened to today on the radio. I was listening to WCVR, which is the big megawatt Christian radio station broadcasting out of Memphis. And lo and behold, they were denouncing these benighted Christians who believe in replacement theology. In other words, Jews are no longer the chosen people. With the coming of Christ, everybody was put to the choice. And you either accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you don't. And if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as Jews and the Judaic religion do not, just like Islam doesn't, then you're as lost as a Hottentot. Now, that is standard traditional Christian theology, Christian teaching for the past 2,000 years, but apparently in the fundamentalist halls of WCVR, that is some type of strange and odd Christian teaching. Go figure.
Thank you, bud. All right, I just sent a clip over to you.
Are you familiar with the term vigor?
For the neck?
Strength in body and mind. He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, LibertyRoundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly, 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Real quick, wrapping up this thing about TiVo, which I didn't really intend to get into in the opening segment. I had some other things on the agenda, but that's okay. It's a freewheeling show. Keith, you see that the die is cast. It is becoming increasingly hostile territory in today's political climate for you to speak out on something as basic as sodomy. I mean, who in their right mind would not oppose it? That doesn't mean – and see, there's a big difference between opposing something from a Christian perspective and hating people. They say, well, if you don't take the politically correct line, that means you hate homosexuals. Well, I don't hate them. But I don't want anything to do with them. I don't think that their lifestyle is normal or natural or healthy. I think it's sick. And, you know, that's a very basic way to look. Well, those sportscasters, as we said, Keith, they were taking Tebow to task for what? For going to a very basic mainstream church. So the walls are continuing to crumble and be eroded with regard to this issue, and it won't be long, 10, 20 years, all the churches will accept it. You wait and see. Hopefully we'll still be on the air then to say we told you so. But Keith, you got one more quick thing while we're on the topic of homosexuality and the culture war. What do you got? And then we're going to move on to some other items.
Well, you know, the church he was speaking at was not the Westboro Baptist Church that goes out and pickets soldiers' funerals or things like this. This is something else entirely. In fact, you don't even have to be a Christian. Any religious person that takes their religion seriously, whether it's a Muslim or a Jew or anybody, is going to have to say that his scripture, his holy scripture, definitely takes a position that homosexuality is a sin and a major sin against God's law. But on the other hand, there is enough animus against political correctness of this type in red state America that even the secret blue staters down here have to back off. For example, Laura Bush. Here's an article from the Memphis Commercial Appeal, Friday, February the 12th, page 5A. Bush drops out of gay marriage ads. A pro-gay marriage group will replace adds that former First Lady Laura Bush, speaking on the topic with a new ad this weekend after Bush said she did not want to be part of the campaign. The Respect for Marriage Coalition said Thursday that it appreciates Bush's previous comments. We are sorry she didn't want to be included in our ad. The national advertising campaign of print television and online ads that launched this week featured part of a Bush interview on CNN in which she says, when couples are committed to each other and love each other, then they ought to have the same sort of rights that everyone else has. The coalition made up of more than 80 organizations for the, what's this, good night, to the supporting gay marriage, and this ad was part of a public education campaign. Yeah, really, Orwellian public education campaign that will now move to new and different voices that reflect the depth and breadth of support. In other words, these people have concluded that liberalism is their true religion. Christianity, Buddhism, Islam, Judaism, none of these things count as religions anymore. The real religion, the only way that you can be a righteous person in the eyes of modern America is to be pro-gay marriage, which means you've got to be liberal out the wazoo. This is why our ancestors here in the South wanted to secede. This is Red State America. That was Red State America back then. The Confederacy was Red State America. Today, Red State America still chafes at political correctness to such a degree that Laura Bush, this over-the-top liberal that thinks that, homosexuality, heterosexuality, all meat and no potatoes, don't knock it if you hadn't tried it, you know, type of approach, still draws fire, enough fire in Red State America that unfortunate she who finds herself living in Red State America has to draw in her righteous ad. You know, I tell you what, if there is ever an issue that shows the necessity for us being two nations, this is it. How in the world, you know, we've got political correctness from blue state America bludgeoning us on one hand, and we've got the reaction against it bludgeoning these blue staters down here like Laura Bush that want to be in with the in crowd over in Hollywood and New York. Well, I tell you what, we need a divorce. We need to be separated. Laura Bush, go to Hollywood, go to New York. Take George with you, Georgie Porgy Pudding and Pie, kiss the girls and made them cry. Get his ass out of here. Get him gone and let us be our own nation, run according to our own insights and values, which include the holy scriptures of every major religion in the world.
All right, Keith, that being said, and we did make a foreshadowing of the fact that it is Black History Month. And here's what I have to say about that. I mean, honestly, I think it's quite normal and healthy and natural, and always use those adjectives to describe someone taking pride in who they are and what their culture is. I don't begrudge the fact that blacks do celebrate their history. Obviously, there's a pretty fierce double standard in play that they get a de facto government-ordained month in which their culture is celebrated and highlighted for what it is. And all the media entities, the broadcast media entities, jump in line and they ramrod it down your throat. But for all intents and purposes, it is a good thing. I'd like to be able to do the same. And, of course, we do that here on the Political Cesspool. But somebody told me recently, and it was really profound, it was a very simple statement, but it resonated, and they said, you know, God made us who we are. Why shouldn't we be proud of that? And it was with regards to the discussion of pride in one's race and cultural heritage. And it was an older lady, and a white lady, and a very fine and classy lady. And we were talking about this, talking about the double standards. And she said, yeah, well, I mean, God made me who I am. Shouldn't I be happy about that? Shouldn't I be proud? And I said, you know what? I've never really thought about it, the issue pared down to that extent, but yes, we should. And it's really an ironclad argument. Whoever we are, what we are, we should celebrate that fact. And of course, as we know, before we get into the article at hand, everybody is allowed to have pride in that, except for who, Keith?
For white Gentiles. In fact, even gays believe this. You know, they say, God made you and God didn't make no junk. So if you're a homosexual, that's what God made you. That's why they want to argue that it's genetic, not a sin, as it is designated by Islam, Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, you name it. They want to jump on that bandwagon, but then amazingly, they want to deny the same rights that they claim for themselves and even groups of obvious sinners, according to the Holy Scripture, of every group except for white Gentiles. White Gentiles are the only people that cannot claim their birthright to have a sense of racial solidarity.
When we come back from the break, I had intended to get to this story, this segment. We're going to roll it over to the third segment coming up in just a few minutes. But we're going to tell you about a celebration of Black History Month in Albany, New York. They got completely out of hand. And if you've been to the blog, you know what we're talking about. We're also going to talk to you a little bit about some Black history that perhaps you never heard of before. And then we're going to get into some other stuff. Listen, folks, it's a very busy show tonight. We are just beginning to warm up. We're getting everything loaded up, and we're about to unload over the course of the next 2.5 hours. We're so glad you're with us tonight here on the Political Cesspool radio program. James Edwards and Keith Alexander live in the studio tonight, and we are now settled in. We hope you are as well. We'll be right back. You don't want to go anywhere. I promise you that.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Black History Month. Nothing wrong with it on face value. I wish we had the same opportunities to appreciate who we are. But we're going to give you a couple of examples of the celebration of Black history that you probably haven't heard, and even all the media saturation that they give it. On February 15th, just a few days ago, in Albany, New York, the North Albany Academy, it's a elementary school, they held an assembly to celebrate, African American History Month. And they invited a 24-year-old Black female and asked her to do a traditional African dance in front of the children. And it was a general assembly. All the classes were there, K through 8. And keep in mind that traditional dances by African women in sub-Saharan Africa are usually performed with very little clothes and exposed breasts. Now, when this woman actually performed an authentic dance, administrators went into a panic. Let's go to the news clip up there in Albany, New York.
With an Albany parent under arrest after police say she stripped off her clothes in the middle of a school assembly.
It is tonight's top story. News 10's Megan Farley is live at North Albany Academy. And Megan, do we know what might have prompted this?
Thing we don't know. The school district at this point says that at the beginning of that assembly celebrating Black History Month, they didn't notice anything really out of the ordinary with 24-year-old Adria Meters. But then that's when they say things took a turn.
The cafeteria was full. We had probably 200 students or so in there from throughout the school.
Then police say this woman, 24-year-old Adria Meters, decided it was time to put on a show of her own. The school district says Meters joined in on the assembly here at North Albany Academy, at first just dancing with the students.
It wasn't an expected part of the routine. No one knew that she was going to do that, but she wasn't doing anything inappropriate.
That's when Lesko says things quickly went in the wrong direction.
Suddenly, she stepped to the front of the group and threw off her coat, and she stripped from the waist up.
Within seconds, staff here at the academy rushed the stage, and the district says they ushered Meters to the side and shielded her from the students while they waited for police. Looking back, Lesko says she wasn't acting out of the ordinary before deciding she needed to shed some layers of clothing.
No behavior that anyone encountered in the course of the assembly. And she spent a fair amount of time during the assembly talking to the principal, and they're having a perfectly, you know, normal conversation.
We went to Meter's apartment in Albany, but she wasn't home at the time. Police say they charged her with 7 counts of endangering the welfare of a child and 1 count of public lewdness. The district immediately sent this letter to parents and also planned to put their crisis team to work if necessary.
We did throughout today make counseling services available in all of our classrooms. We'll kind of evaluate our students when they return. We're off all of next week for the winter break.
And we asked the Albany City School District if they had had any issues with Meters in the past. They said that they had not. We're live in Albany. Megan Farley, News 10.
Okay, so Keith, I don't really see what the big uproar was about. They booked the woman to come in and do a traditional African dance in celebration of Black History Month, and she did it. I mean, did they not know what they were getting in for?
That's not an argument for the need for assimilation to Western European standards of behavior in America, then I don't know what is. This is it. You know, you can't make this stuff up, James. What is happening here, nobody can parody blacks like blacks can themselves. This is the crazy, you know, can you imagine a woman up here exposing her breast to elementary school children, and this is supposed to be a great cultural event celebrating Black History Month? If that's not the ultimate argument against having a Black History Month, what is, James?
Well, Keith, it is a prime example. And like I said, you just have so much media saturation on the celebration of Black History Month that, you know, I had to look hard to find a story that you almost assuredly have not heard anywhere else, at least outside of Albany, New York, and we found one. But here's another one. Here's another example of Black history that you won't learn about this month. The headline in Australia, and this comes from ABC News Australia, World War II mutiny by black U.S. troops in Australia has been confirmed. Now, again, this is a pretty substantial news story that was absolutely covered up by Lyndon B. Johnson, but ABC News Australia has reported on the fact, and here's the story. An Australian historian has uncovered hidden documents which reveal that African-American troops used machine guns to attack their white officers in a siege on a U.S. base in North Queensland in 1942. Information about the mutiny has never been released to the public. About 600 African-American troops were brought into the city to help build airfields. According to the findings, the soldiers took machine guns and anti-aircraft weapons and fired into the tents where their white counterparts were. More than 700 rounds were fired. One person was killed. That, I think that in and of itself, the fact that they were able to pour in 700 rounds of lead into a undefended tent and only score one casualty was probably why they were working on the airfields rather than fighting on the front lines. The story reads, and again, this isn't from some anonymous blog. This is from ABC News Australia. It says that the story never made it to the press, but was handed to Lyndon B. Johnson and eventually filed away into the National Archives. So there you go. This is a story that's not going to get any play outside of Australia except here on TPC. If it did, though, I'm sure the media over here would just suggest that the white officers deserved it because that's what they're doing now. You know, now, and we've seen in two or three serial killings here in America in the last 2 years, Christopher Dornan being the latest example. You know, a guy starts murdering white people, and he just says, well, they were racist. And then it's gone from pretty much, okay, you know, neither here nor there, to now, in the case of Dornan, they are celebrating him as some sort of a hero or as a martyr. Well, again, this case out of Australia, Keith, Black History, you won't hear about this month except for here on TPC.
Well, it's life imitating art. Django Unchained. I remember Christopher Dorner was called the modern-day Django by somebody out on the West Coast, on the left coast. Then we had an episode where a black Muslim soldier in Iraq fired on the tents of his officers. Unfortunately, he was a little bit better shot than these guys back in World War II. And then, of course, we had Major Nadal Hassan in Fort Hood, Texas, who killed 29 and wounded 37 doing the same. All this non-white-on-white violence is basically applauded secretly or not so secretly by the mainstream media. This is part of what they're doing. This is why they make movies like Django Unchained or Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer. They want to get people used to the idea that red state whites in particular, or the, you know, like soldiers, white soldiers and whatnot, are bad people who deserve to be killed so that they can get people ready psychologically for the killing that they would really have in store for us here in the future. Now, this may sound off the charts. You know, Keith has gone off the rails. But look at movies like Django Unchained. Look at what happened back then. And look at the reaction that you get to things like Django Unchained, Christopher Dorner, the black Muslim guy that fired on the tent full of officers in Iraq a couple of years ago.
The black guy at the beer distributorship.
The black guy at the beer distributorship. Where was that? Buffalo, New York?
Up
in the Northeast somewhere. Well, this type of stuff apparently is something that, you know, back in World War II, they were ashamed of this. LBJ filed it in the circular file, as they say. But now today, they'll bring it up, and we'll have serious talking head commentators on the mainstream news talking about why Christopher Dorner may have been justified in doing what he did. I've heard them say, you know, after all, everybody knows how racist the Los Angeles Police Department is. So, you know, they're implying that the Los Angeles Police Department got what was coming to them.
Well, they did, Keith. And I'll tell you, as you said, life imitating art, if you can call it a Django art. And of course, some of these instances predated Django, but I do believe that Django could have served as sort of a precedent of which moving forward, this type of stuff will be celebrated. These people will be lauded rather than treated with irrelevance, or in the case of the 1942 mutiny in Australia, just not mentioned at all. We got about 35 seconds left, Keith.
Well, of course, the last thing they would do is denounce this. Now, I guarantee if a white guy had fired on a bunch of black people, that would be denounced. This guy would be lower than Satan. He would be the worst person that ever drew breath. And you'd have wall-to-wall coverage of 24/7 on it. But, of course, this is a things like Django Unchained, a movie like that, is a dog whistle. Like I've said before, every one of Quentin Tarantino's movies basically models the killing of white people by non-white people for the public's consumption, hoping that life will imitate art.
When we come back, folks, last story of the first hour. Don't worry, we've got two more hours chock full of information. But when we come back, did you know there was a third nation in the space race in the early 1960s? Who was it? America, the USSR, and there was one other. We'll tell you when we come back.
Cool, guys. We'll be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life for me.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back. The first hour rolling on this evening. Time is a relentless master, Keith. We're all subject to it. It stops, halts, pauses for no man. Time won't let me. All right. Yeah, you know, the first hour, we've covered some serious stuff. The Tebow thing was a sad indication of where we are in the culture war and how we continue to retreat on the front of the radical homosexual agenda. Some of the stuff we've been talking about has been kind of comical. I guess the news from Australia, albeit from 1942, was serious. But this, you know, that was an ABC News report. People say, well, I never heard that before. But that doesn't mean it's not true. In fact, it probably lends credence to the fact that it is. But that was pulled from ABC News Australia. So we try to give you establishment sources as much as we distrust the establishment media. Every now and then, they'll make the mistake of telling the truth, and we kind of gobble that up. But here, the last thing this hour, kind of a funny story, but equally true, according to the Discovery Channel, which is our source for this one. And then as we move on for the remainder of the program tonight, we're going to be talking about some more serious stuff. But did you know, and if you've been to the blog this week, you do, that there was a third nation involved in the space race in the early 1960s. It was not just the United States and the USSR. Zambia was also fighting to get to the moon and to Mars in advance of the Americans. Again, according to the Discovery Channel. Here it is. Back in 1964, a Zambian teacher vowed that his country would beat America as the first country to put a man on the moon. And then they would go on to Mars. Unfortunately, his dream never came to fruition. The Zambians worked hard, though. The astronauts rolled down hills in barrels to get used to traveling through space. They practiced walking on their hands, as their leader assured them that that was the only way to get around on the moon. But it all came to naught because the United Nations wouldn't give them the $700 million that he needed to fund the space program. Plus, he said he couldn't keep his astronauts' minds off sex. So this is... Some things never change. But here we go. I'm going to read on the story now. I'll give you a little more background about Zambia's forgotten space program from 1964. Big dreams, namely using a catapult-inspired firing system to send a 10x6 aluminum and copper rocket holding 10 Zambians and a 17-year-old African girl and her cat to Mars. They figured they could get them to the moon by 1965. They just needed $700 million from UNESCO to fund the project. In a newspaper editorial, a man by the name of Nicoloso claimed to have studied Mars for some time from telescopes at his secret headquarters outside of Lusaka and announced that the planet was populated by primitive natives. And keep in mind, that's relative coming from the source. He graciously... Imagine how primitive that would be. He graciously added that his missionaries would not force the native Martians to convert to Christianity. So he was an egalitarian ahead of his time. In fact, he said he could have achieved the conquest of Mars a mere few days after Zambia's independence had UNESCO come through with the funding. Oh, and he also called for the detention of Russian and American spies who were trying to steal his space secrets and their cats. It's hard not to like this guy based on what little we know of him. He was a grade school science teacher setting on his own national space program with a small group of trainees who had to roll downhill in a 44-gallon oil drum as part of their space program's plan to simulate the sensation of rushing through space. Zero gravity, they simulated that as well by having the astronauts swing from the end of a rope and then cutting the rope when they reached the highest point so that they would enter into a free fall. He taught them how to walk on their hands, which was, of course, the only way that humans could walk on the moon. His dedicated volunteers, he said this of them, quote, "They won't concentrate on space flight. There's too much lovemaking going on when they should be studying the moon." Indeed, the much-touted girl astronaut, Martha, became pregnant, and her parents took her back to their village. So there, Keith, is the end-all, be-all of the Zambian space program of 1964.
I don't have anything to say to that. Yeah, right. Yeah, this is something that ought to be celebrated in Black History Month. You know, if that... my goodness. And the Discovery Channel actually ran a program on this. You can check the video is on the website. Watch it. It's just, you know, the truth is stranger than fiction. I mean, you like I said, you can't make this stuff up. The Ku Klux Klan could not have come up with a parody that would have topped this, okay?
Well, Keith, I don't know where we go from that other than to say, God bless him. I mean, I probably couldn't do much better if I was trying to send you into space, but we can at least do a radio show. We've got our own radio show. And so at least we have that going for us. Hey, speaking of radio, I had the opportunity, as I do on a monthly basis, to sit in with Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby on the Liberty Roundtable broadcast. I'm a guest the third Wednesday of each month on Sam's daily program. And, you know, it's always a highlight of my month, that's for sure. And I think it always makes for interesting radio. But this last Wednesday, if you can go back to the archives, I mean, you should be listening to Liberty Roundtable every day. But if you can go back to the archives this week at libertyroundtable.com, go to the third hour of Wednesday's show. And we just had a great time. I mean, we covered a lot of news. I mean, Sam is just a genius. He's a madman. And I mean that affectionately when it comes to pulling so many stories. You know, I have to really put a little elbow grease into coming up with 3 hours worth of content per week that I think will be interesting to an audience. Sam gives you 3 hours a day, and it's all stuff that I would like to talk about on this show. And I'll tell you just a couple of things that we covered, Keith, kind of apolitical and to some extent, but interesting nonetheless. And we did cover some political news too, but there was just a couple of other stories that really jumped out at me. For instance, a sheriff in Oklahoma said a man died in a fire spontaneously combusted. Did you know that was even possible? Apparently, and I did some research on this. No. It's true. Apparently, there are approximately 200 cases in recorded history of there being no explanation other than spontaneous combustion to come for a person's death. I'm actually surprised that this doesn't happen more often here in the modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah, but in Socorro County, Oklahoma, authorities say that a man who died in a fire at his home spontaneously combusted. He was 66, and it says that this is a case that they haven't seen before. No cause of the fire has been determined. Lockhart says spontaneous combustion has not been ruled out. 200 cases worldwide. No other burns anywhere else in the apartment. There was no external accelerant. It was just a pile of ashes, except for this man's shoes, apparently. And apparently this is not unprecedented. So, Keith, do you believe it? Ripley's Believe It or Not?
Don't believe it, because if it would have happened, it would have happened to the Zambian astronauts. Well, you know, the six astronauts in that barrel with one female. You know, you talk about, as I said in Disco Inferno, satisfaction came in a chain reaction.
Well, if God was doling out punishment, you would think that a congressman or two would have been subjected to this fate. So we'll let the audience decide. Here's something that is true, but is almost equally unbelievable. The Postal Service, and this is, again, something I learned from being a guest on the Liberty Roundtable show last week, the Postal Service is launching its own clothing line. And I gave the deadpan reaction on the show, thank God, because I've always wanted to be able to dress like my mailman. You know, you would think that if they were going to look into something that would help benefit their business, that, you know, for instance, when I go into my local branch, if I could get in and out of there in less than an hour, that would probably be an improvement that they could make. But no, rather than improving customer service or putting more than two black clerks on the front lines there, you know, they have six stations here at my local post office. They'll have two people at any given time in the line going out the door. But instead of improving something like that, no, they're coming up with their own clothing line. Folks, check it out. This is a true story. You know, and this is a government-run organization. It's a bankrupt organization. Who wants to dress like a mailman? Who would want to wear that stuff? I mean, is there uniforms? I get it. It's a work uniform. But who really off the street is going to buy that look?
Who even that works for the Postal Service would want to do that? You know, if they had their choice, they'd be dressed in FUBU. This is, you know, in a place like Memphis, it is definitely wall-to-wall blackness when you go into the Postal Service.
It's a government job.
It's a government job, and as a result, it has a just irresistible attraction to black folks, at least around here, because you get Cadillac health care, you get civil service protection, and you get a defined benefit from being fired for incompetence or insubordination, and you get a defined benefit pension, not a defined contribution pension or a 401k like the rest of us poor slubs in the private sector get.
All right. Well, hey, listen, folks, that was only a couple of stories that I was able to cover with Sam and Kurt during my hours as guests on the Liberty Roundtable show on Wednesday. But there was about a dozen more just like it. Some of them actually scary. And I was actually frightened being on the radio when Sam told me about some of these drones that the Air Force is coming out. They're about the size of a horsefly. And they can surveil. They can kill you. Yes, they have lethal capacity. So the next time you see a fly on your wall, you might want to check it out a little bit more closely. Anyway. All right, when we come back, folks, much, much more. Second hour forthcoming. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Stay tuned. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the blooms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen.